Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is the Dale and Keith Show.
I think he would be the biggest cult hero the Celtics have ever had off the bench, ever.
They want Paco.
I'm the perfect bailout. When you're in doubt, just throw the ball up.
Dale Arnold.
Is it true? You know Bill Belichick,
right? I do. He's been a friend since he was coaching for the Cleveland Browns.
This shocks me because not just the two of you together, but just imagining him having a friend.
When everybody zigs, Belichick zags.
Rich Keefe.
Just what the doctor ordered. Home run, Mookie. It's 5-0 Sox with the lead.
Dale and Keefe. Middays.
Great question, Dale. Michael Jordan, an idiot.
On the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Hour number three, Dale and Keith, Sports Radio WEEI. The breaking news literally as we went on the air earlier today, but it has kind of taken over the sports platforms all over the place today, is that the National Football League has decided, and it doesn't say Roger Goodell, I don't know who it is, but it just says the National Football League has decided there will be no discipline for Tyreek Hill, the wide receiver from the Kansas City Chiefs.
The Troy Vincent, is he in charge of something?
Is he? I don't know. But the reaction around the National Football League has been almost unanimous. I have yet to find anybody on Twitter, at least so far, who says, you know, I see it. Rappaport's as close as we've got.
Rappaport was not surprised, or at least he claims not surprised, but he's been following this for a while and trying to get this story to come out. And maybe they realize that there wasn't as much evidence or there wasn't enough evidence to suspend him. You and I both thought there was. And when you throw in his past, when you add it all together, I thought it was going to be some sort of a suspension, not banished from the league, not a whole season, but some sort of discipline, and they went the other way with none.
Albert Breer, or Bert as we like to call him,
sure.
He tweets out a few minutes ago, if you were wondering why Cowboys owner Jerry Jones was so upset over the Ezekiel Elliott suspension in 2017, you got your answer today.
Yeah, I would say so.
And Ben Volen tweets out, the NFL is making a big bet that no further video or audio of Tyreek Hill exists for TMZ to get their hands on, because Roger Goodell and the National Football League will look like such complete, total fools if something shows up.
Well, and that's the other thing, is we don't know how Tyreek Hill's son broke his arm. And if he did so in a public place, there's a chance that there's a video of it.
Always.
If he did it in his home, isn't that chance much less that there'd be some sort of video that comes out there? Hard to get, you know, any kind of home surveillance or anything like that, I would imagine. But if it was out in the public, if it was anywhere, then maybe somebody is sitting on that. But yeah, maybe. I mean, Tyreek Hill, again, there is a chance that he didn't do it, or at the very least, he has gotten away with it, and he will be there week one for Kansas City.
I feel probably closer to the he's gotten away with it.
That's what I feel too. That's what I feel like too. But then again, here he is. He's out there. But what do you think of how much credit do you give Mike Florio's thoughts about maybe like a ratings thing, and like the NFL wants their star players out there?
I have no reason to debunk that theory. I mean, the ratings dip, and you can go back to the whole, you know, national anthem controversy. The ratings dip was irrefutable. You can say if you're defending the National Football League, yeah, the ratings dip, but it's still the highest rated. It is.
Yeah, it is.
But it's hugely rated.
But they're looking at what they had going on, and they're trying to grow that, right? They're trying to make more money, as any business would. They're trying to make more money every single year, and if you have some of your top guys out there, that's going to affect it. You know, whether it was Colin Kaepernick kneeling, or there was the season where multiple starting quarterbacks got hurt and you had these backups around the league, that really impacted the ratings overall too. And again, yeah, Ezekiel Elliott got suspended 6 games back in 2017. It was in August where the suspension came down. And then you try to look after that. So, and what Florio's referring to is the ratings in 16 and 17. So then you pull up some of these suspensions since then, and not the biggest names in the world, right? I mean, trying to think some of these ones that were by the league, because some of these I'm looking up all these suspensions and some of them are team suspensions, right? But like Dante Fowler got one game for the league's personal conduct policy. You're not going to watch the game or not watch the game because of Dante Fowler, even though he's a really high pick. He's still not going to really swing it for you.
Absolutely not.
Jimmy Smith, which was somebody that Ian Rapoport brought up. Those were threats. It was, again, violation of the league's personal conduct policy. Last season, Jimmy Smith got popped for 4 games. Jimmy Smith, again, not on your fantasy team, not a guy that you're really paying to see or you're turning the TV on to wait for a highlight. So I think it is pretty interesting that some of these suspensions have not been the marquee guys recently.
I hope in general anyway, but for the National Football League's sake, this guy better not run off the rails.
I know. And you really want to bet on him? You want to put your stock in him?
At all.
I wouldn't either.
I mean, I don't want him to run off the rails simply for the health and welfare of the people around him. But if you're the National Football League, aren't you putting a lot of faith in the fact that this guy's never going to screw up again?
Yeah, you are. I mean, the Chiefs are to a certain degree also, but then you have the NFL maybe even more so, because this it's a worse look right now for the NFL than it is even for the Kansas City Chiefs, who employ him. But the league looks really stupid right now. I think everybody was anticipating something, and they went the other way. And then you can bring up all these examples, whether it's Ezekiel Elliott, Josh Gordon, Tom Brady, all these different other suspensions, and you could say, well, this guy got popped, or even their whole policy on marijuana. Like, that needs to change. Shouldn't any business be harder on domestic violence and child abuse than weed? Like, I feel like we shouldn't even be having this conversation in 2019, but here we are with the NFL.
Especially when you consider, as you pointed out last hour, that there are some states where it's legal.
Right.
Like this one.
Yes, exactly.
Like Colorado, it's been that way for a while.
I was going to say, where the Patriots play, where the Broncos play, where a handful of others play, like it is legal.
617-779-7937. Real quickly, before we get back to the calls with you guys, we've touched on it briefly, but feel that we should at least mention the fact that Chris Sale was really good yesterday.
Chris Sale was great.
He made a concerted effort to knock the velocity down. He was living primarily 90, 91, 92, threw two pitches at 93, threw one at 96. He geared up to strike out Freddie Galvis to end an inning. But he made a conscious decision, and we talked to him post-game, after the game yesterday, and he said he was concentrating on command. Especially, you know, left inside and outside parts of the strike zone. Command, he threw a lot more change-ups. He was not trying to overpower. His start before that against the Dodgers, he was up there throwing 96, 97, and it was like, I'm going to throw it by everybody.
Yeah.
And that didn't work at all.
And I'll tell you, after he had that bullpen session where all the pitchers were watching him, I had my concerns. I was saying, what is going on with this guy? Yep. Is he so lost that he needs everybody to take a look and hopefully they can pick up something about his plant foot or his follow through or whatever. I was like, oh man, what is this going to look like? And we had seen 3 straight starts where he just didn't have it. And we weren't used to seeing that with Chris Sale. Either Chris Sale is great or unfortunately he's hurt, right? Like the last couple of years when you've seen him, when he's been out there, he's been dominant. And then, you know, the end of the last couple of years, he's kind of broken down and either been on the shelf or they've had to use him differently. But to see him go out there and just get hit around a little bit, that was really surprising. So even though the Blue Jays don't have a great lineup, they had been scoring a bunch of runs in this series. They'd looked like a different team
scored
this series.
18 runs in the first 2 games
right.
of the series.
So to see him go out there, 12 strikeouts, was it just a couple of walks or whatever it
two
was?
Walks.
Two walks, 2 hits, no runs allowed. That was more the Chris Sale that we were used to seeing. 6 innings on 101 pitches. That was fantastic to see, and hopefully he can continue that through, because I still have my fears about him late August, September, just because that's been a track record his whole career. And when he was with the White Sox, wasn't that big of a deal, because the end of September, that's also the end of the season, and then you just forget about it and you move on. With the Red Sox, you're hoping that you move on to the playoffs and then you can be a big part of those games going forward. My other takeaway from yesterday's game was I had to look up, can you win the MVP and not be an all-star? Because Rafael Devers is on fire. This guy has been fantastic. Not an all-star, somehow, some way.
It is almost unbelievable how good he's been.
He's been great, and he's got the power. He had no power earlier in the year. He was still hitting for a really high average, but he just wasn't hitting the ball out of the park. And now he's up to 19 home runs. He's third in the league in RBI, which is a stat that I know nerds don't care about. I still do. And he's second in batting average. He's hitting .325 right now. And they got him hitting second in the order, which we thought was, you know, Benintendi's position, but he lost that. Devers has taken that over, and he has been fantastic. And to answer my question, yes, it has happened. Guys,
that's efficient. You're answering your own question.
It
well
is.
Done.
Because it wasn't just a hypothetical, because people driving around might say, oh, yeah, has that ever happened? So, yeah, it's actually happened more times than you would think, where a player wasn't an all-star and still won the MVP. The two most recent times were Jimmy Rollins and Justin Morneau were both non-all-star MVPs.
The information comes courtesy of the Twitter feed Boston Sports Info. Rafael Devers ranks in the American League since May 4th. Because May 4th is when he caught fire. Okay. He had a very pedestrian start to the season, wasn't hitting any home runs, was hitting the ball on the ground a lot.
But even his ranks overall are pretty good.
Yeah.
If you take the whole season. But anyway, because he was the player of the month in May.
Since May 4th.
Yeah.
Runs batted in 63. That's first in Major League Baseball. Hits 90. That's first in Major League Baseball. Extra base hits 41. That's first in the American League. Batting average 338. That's second in the American League. Slugging 643, second in the American League. OPS 1.021, third in the American League. Doubles 20, third in the American League. Home runs 19, fourth in the American League. That's just since May 4th.
Pretty incredible. And he is obviously not going to ever be confused with Brooks Robinson over third. But I feel like he's gotten better, hasn't he?
I agree.
Like before, he was just an error waiting to happen. Like the first couple months of the season, they hit the ball over to the left side, and you're like, oh no, like just fingers crossed. But now he's making more of the routine plays and making those look even easy. So he has been fantastic. And one of the reasons why they're even as close as they are, think about it. If you had a bad Rafael Devers, or let's just say an average Rafael Devers, you know, a third base offense, where would this team be right now? Like he is trying to keep them in the hunt a little bit. He has been fantastic. Now, I don't think he is the MVP. I mean, he's still got to compete with Mike Trout and some other guys, but he's actually on that short list.
And we forget, because we've seen him now for a couple of years, he's the youngest third baseman in Major League Baseball.
Yeah, 22 years old.
Moncada's next. He's a year and 5 months older than Devers. Bregman is next. He's a year and 2 months older than Moncada.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, it's just the guy has been really, really good. And you see the jumps that he has been able to take, too. You know, last season, played in 121 games and had a 731 OPS. You know, he hit 21 homers, but you look at the OPS, you're like, okay, that's you know, whatever. Young guy, let's see what he does. Now the OPS is up to 938. He already has 18, or is it 19 home runs after last night. And this guy is going to set all kinds of career highs and is going to be one of the next guys down the road that you would think that they're going to have to, you know, commit a lot of money to.
Devers swings and drives one high and deep right center field against the wind, back by the bullpen, and it is gone.
Wow. I could not.
Yeah, how did that one get out?
Well, we were talking about it during the broadcast, and Lou was on the game, and Joe and I, and we all said, nobody's hitting one out to right today. The wind, and it's pretty unusual at Fenway Park. It doesn't usually blow in from right, but it was yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And we saw several fly balls early in the game that you thought were fairly well hit, but they got knocked down and driven back towards the infield. For him to power that one out to right yesterday was unbelievable.
Yeah, he has been really good. And again, it goes back to the offense not being the problem. You know, Mookie Betts, by the way, is hitting the crap out of the ball again.
Sure is.
He's looking like a stud. Some of those early season troubles have sort of been put behind him. Bogarts is still giving you a great performance. You got Martinez.
So he's struggling right now.
Yeah, but I feel like overall you're going to score the runs that you need.
Yes.
And more often than not, you're going to get those runs. And it just comes back to the pitching staff, as always. All these conversations do. And you know, what will Nathan Eovaldi provide when he ultimately returns? Will Cashner help the rotation a little bit? And is there anybody else out there for them to add and try to help this team get into the playoffs?
They head for Baltimore, where they've got to continue to just beat up on the lesser Rans in the American League, because after they get done with Baltimore, then they start running into the buzzsaws.
Yeah, you get a real
Yankees, yeah. and the Tampa Bay. By the way, speaking of Yankees,
yes.
So we had an ejection yesterday in Major League Baseball. That stuff happens.
I love a good ejection.
They had a doubleheader. The Rays and Yankees had a doubleheader, and in the first game of the doubleheader, you had a rookie umpire behind the plate for the first time in the major leagues. And I didn't think his strike zone was egregiously bad, but there were a couple of borderline calls.
Right.
Yankees thought they were getting squeezed on a couple of things, thought that there were some strikes being called to guys. And ultimately, you know, their manager, Aaron Boone, kind of went nuts, said some things, and got chucked by the umpire. Probably should have been chucked by the umpire. But he decided he was going to go out onto the field and get his money's worth.
Yeah, why not? You're already out, I guess.
But you got to translate some of this for me. All right, I'll help you.
So,
our guys are bleeping savages in that box. What does that mean?
They're savages.
What does that mean? What does that have to do with his strike zone? Our guys are bleeping savages in that box.
Well, the definition of a savage, Dale, is a not domesticated or under human control. Like an untamed savage beast. It's lacking the restraints normal to civilized human beings. Fierce, ferocious, wild, uncultivated. Seldom have I seen such a savage. That kind of thing. So that's what he's referring to.
I mean,
there.
I thought he got a little creative, and I'll give him credit. You know, sometimes
he said, that guy's a good pitcher, but our guys are bleeping savages in that box. So he's trying to compliment the guy for Tampa, but then he's saying, his guys are savage. I don't get it. I don't understand it. And a lot of kind of potty mouth, which I don't appreciate. Okay. As a father now, Dale, I've
noticed how you look at things differently now than you did a month ago.
I never swear anymore. But
at least not at home.
I don't know what his point was.
I didn't get it.
Like, if you're the ump, you're like, okay, your guys are savages.
The ump just stood there, didn't say anything. He just
is a strike not a strike and a ball's not a ball because they're savages? That's really odd. I think Aaron Boone should be tested. Like, what maybe
the other
he's a savage.
The other thing that he did, which was even worse, he clapped in his face.
Yeah, you don't clap in a man's face.
Gotta get it together.
Don't clap in a man's face.
I mean, that's way
very
over the line.
Very disrespectful.
Can't be clapping at him.
So you think they're going to embrace this now, like the Yankees, like they're savages?
Yes. Yeah. As somebody tweeted out earlier today, they guarantee that there will be effing savages t-shirts on players in the Yankees clubhouse maybe as early as today.
But I would love to know, like, what does he actually mean by it? And how does that have anything to do with the umpire? Like, who cares? I don't care if they're savages. I don't care if they're tamed house pets. It doesn't matter what they are. He's just going to call the game the way he sees it. You're not going to agree with all the calls. But to then go out there and talk about your guys being crazy. Like, all right. So they're not allowed to take a called strike? Very, very weird stuff by Aaron Boone.
Maybe it means that they're so crazy that they swing at pitches that clearly aren't strikes and all the strikes. So if they didn't swing, then it would have had to have been a terrible pitch.
And all the strikes. That's actually, maybe you're on something, Shime.
I mean,
they swing at everything, so they're certainly not going to swing at a ball that's not a strike.
Well, he has spoken earlier in the year about his players, his hitters,
savages,
doing a better. Well, he didn't use that.
Okay,
doing a better job of commanding the strike zone, swinging at strikes. So maybe that's they're savages.
savages.
I don't know.
Okay, my bad. Get him back out here. Then it's not a strike three. Get him back out here. That's a do-over pitch. These guys are savages.
The pitches didn't miss by that much either. By the way, I mean they weren't.
No, it's like whatever. You see it every
horrible.
Night. No, you see that stuff every night. There's always some questionable calls. You put up the little
Amica
pitch
zone. You know
what
would have saved all that?
It goes just outside.
Robot umps. Robot umps.
Do you see Aaron Boone having that same conversation with a robot? The robot wouldn't care. Robot wouldn't want to hear
R2-D2 it. R2-D2 going,
get out of my way. I will destroy you. Like, yeah, you're not worried about that stuff. That's why you would cut down on all that nonsense. You want to speed up the game? Get these robot umps. They're ball strike real quick, no delays, no arguments. It'll be perfect.
I think he's indicating that they're kind of free swingers anyway, that, you know, they swing at anything even close to the strike zone, and they're not going after these things.
I guess that's what it means. But so he's saying, so 1 through 9, all of his guys are all savages? doesn't strike. I mean, they all just go up there. Are all free swingers?
Was it Brett Gardner who was using the bat to beat the crap out of the bat rack and then the ceiling of the dugout? Did you see this?
Yeah, they took. He really kind of took down what was holding it up, I believe.
So he, first of all, he was using his bat and he was slamming it into the bat rack.
Yes, and very, then, very graphic. Actually.
And then he took the bat.
Yeah.
And he started poking it into the ceiling of the dugout. Now, my assumption was he was just trying to make a lot of noise so that the umpire would hear him.
Probably. Try to really make
or,
well, he's a savage.
Or he was being a savage.
He is a savage. So he's really making a moment out of it there. But say what you want about those Savages, Dale. It's a pretty good team over there. That is
so
going to be
good
a team.
That I don't think you're catching them.
No, you're definitely not catching them. The question is, you know, will you play them? Can you win? Can you get into the wild card, win a wild card game, then play a series against New York? That's the question.
And win a series against New York.
Doesn't feel great.
No, probably not right now. Yeah. I think they maybe got to make an addition or two.
That would help.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. The text line, always available to you, is 37937. So we've got Kiefer Madness coming up in a few minutes because we've got our week in review.
That's right.
Chock full of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Dylon's been busy in the other room. They're just going crazy back there.
Dylon's just chopping up the sound back there. We are in good hands with Dylon.
I went to look for Dylon earlier. I couldn't find him. Did you drive him out of the business?
No,
today?
He's busy. No, he's just down the hall. He's in his own office. We got him all set
he has
up
like
there.
A little cubby.
Yeah,
he's good
got,
to go.
He got multiple screens down there. He knows what he's doing. Well, listening to every minute of our show from the week just so he can get the best stuff.
We'll get to all of that in just a couple of minutes. But first, trending now with Rich.
Kiefer Madness.
Kiefer Madness.
Yes, I'm ready for Kiefer Madness.
Kiefer Madness.
Now. Rack that one up for Kiefer Madness, will you?
Is he going to talk about ducks wearing clothes and stuff?
What did you say? Going to be like Kiefer Madness. He's going to be in a great build-up and then nothing.
Kiefer's a nice guy.
Kiefer's a nice guy. Okay.
So screw you, Keith.
Yeah.
Right. Screw you.
Yes. We don't need you.
Stupid jerk.
Need you.
Kiefer Madness. Rich Keith is just that guy makes you rock.
Kiefer Madness.
I don't think this is one of the stronger segments.
Earl Duncan Hyman.
Disguised in a bull costume onesie.
Oh, oh, oh.
Well, Dale's a noon 30. I mean,
and
summer.
We had to bring that back?
Kiefer Madness. Dale, this is the song of the
review,
summer.
We had to bring that?
Yeah, song of the summer. We may play this every day
what?
Until the summer is up. This is...
We're not playing it next week.
We might. Well. Oh, yeah. Well, it's up to Shine. This is the
Wait
area...
Wait a minute, it is?
Area 51 was a big topic, and we will get to it as we continue here
okay.
for Week in Review. We're storming Area 51. But before that, Dale, we, okay. on Monday... Bridget was in with us producing with Shime. She was also producing the Red Sox game, which went till forever in the morning.
The wee hours
on Sunday.
Of the morning.
And so we were talking about, well, why didn't you just stay over? And then turns out, I think we all learned something about
yeah.
the building here.
Aaron, do you know that Bridget was producing the Red Sox game last night?
Yeah, so she got to bed about 2:30 yeah. this morning.
Yeah. Got home at 2:30 this morning.
Oh, got home at 2:30.
Did you ever think about just staying here?
There's rats here sometimes. So.
What? We have rats?
Wait a minute.
Hold on, we have rats?
Oh, I stop.
All right. All right, the show's
stop.
Over.
Wait a minute.
My very first shift in this new building, I automatic started my car, and a big rat ran out from under my car and right at me.
A rat ran at you? We have attack rats?
First day here. It was traumatizing.
I didn't know about that.
Just to clear this up, Bridget, we haven't actually seen them in the building, no. though, right?
Not in the building.
Okay out there.
I've seen them like three times outside
Wait,
in the parking
times?
Lot.
No. What?
Yeah.
So, Dale, let me ask you, if on your first day at a job...
It might be my last day.
Wouldn't it be? Like, would you not have a second day? If a rat ran at you...
I shouldn't say that, because I have seen rats where I work.
Oh, my God. Where? Oh, the garden.
At the old garden.
I was going to say...
Now,
fact,
by the way...
A chapter on your book
still,
about
I
it.
I have
yeah.
still seen mice Oof. In the garden, in this garden.
Yeah.
I haven't seen rats. I have seen mice.
You want to know how big of a heart I have? I have had to kill several mice in my life.
Did you use a machete?
I did not use a machete. I've used a wiffle ball bat. I've used a 25-pound dumbbell. I have used like whatever I could get my hands on because I lived in a basement apartment for a while. So every once in a while, those little critters would get in there.
Yeah.
I also killed them with traps.
With fire.
And I feel terrible every time I burned them to death. I drowned a couple, suffocated one. One I just tortured for weeks. But no, I feel bad about doing that. Like I could never be like a hunter.
It doesn't sound like you do feel that bad about it.
No, I did. I had to get him out of the house. Because as it turns out, they can cause havoc. In fact, I had to get my AC fixed because one of those little critters crawled into the central air unit last week and chewed up one of the wires.
It's one of the hard parts about being an adult when you have to deal with a mouse in the house. Or
mouse in the house.
We came home one time from Maine and caught up in the netting around my wife's garden.
Yeah.
Was this 6-foot snake.
Oh, 6 foot?
Are you kidding?
I would have been dead.
And
I would have
so
died.
I called the animal control officer on our town, and he said, hey, you got to just kill it. I mean,
how did you kill it? Did you kill it?
I did.
How?
But, you know, this was the thing when you were a kid, you'd say, oh, my dad will take care of this. I don't get that option now.
In a bizarre turn of events, Dale wrapped himself around the snake.
No.
No.
I killed it with a shovel.
Oh.
I cut its head off with a shovel.
Doesn't it grow two heads then?
Well,
or is that an old wives' tale?
That's what they call a hydra.
Ooh, a hydra. Thank you, Shime. So all snakes are not hydras? Is that what you're saying?
Well, what was I gonna do?
A 6-foot snake?
I
can't, even talking about it scares me.
Is that worse than running into the mouse that you're killing with your 25-pound dumbbell?
Mouse, rats, those things, they don't scare me. A snake scares me.
And when you're an adult, you have to deal with this stuff.
I know you do.
You have to take care of it yourself.
I know.
Or we'll just send Bridget out.
That's true. We could do that. She didn't say she didn't kill the rat. So maybe we'll get a follow-up story next time we talk to her. Once an hour, I do the trending here on WEEI, and I like to think I do a pretty good job at that.
I would say very good.
Award-winning.
Trending now brought to you by Lennox. Make a smart choice about your own home comfort. We have up to $1,600 in rebates on a new Lennox home comfort system. Call Climate Zone at 866-891-7203. Let me read that again.
Hold on.
I'm an idiot.
866- For our English-speaking friends.
891-7203 today. Conditions apply. See dealer for details. My God. Public license number. This is a read and a half. Public license number 3316C.
Do you need a public license too?
Can you read this? Sean, you got to read this for me next time.
I bounce back though. The next one.
No, let's be honest. The wheels,
better.
You could feel the wheels coming off the wagon early
Tough
on.
Tough momentum, I thought.
There was a little bit of a hiccup, a hesitation
there was.
In there.
And when there's one, there's many more to follow. Oh. That's usually how
it
goes.
And by the way, any of us who have ever spoken in front of a microphone have had it happen.
It's tough.
It radio or TV, and you can't get out of it.
See if you can explain what we were talking about here.
This was right on par.
This
with
was
some of
his
these
idea. Tweets. He went
right on par.
Yeah, I got an idea.
I mean, that's what I thought it would sound like.
Right on par.
Yeah, I got an idea.
Well, like we said, some people are beer guys, some people are weed guys, some people are a combination of the two, but
yeah, I got an idea.
Could have been that.
All right, fair enough. So a big topic of conversation this week was my glass of water that I have in studio.
Well, this is my water glass.
It was your coffee glass.
Yeah, it wears many hats. It's a versatile glass.
You know how you said you hadn't washed it?
In like months.
It's pretty clear.
Yeah, it's very cloudy. Maybe that's the water. I don't know. Yeah, it's not. It probably could use a scrub, but it's not going to happen. I've noticed there's a ring forming at the bottom, which is concerning. I don't know what that's made out of. I just noticed that. It's stained.
I brought it back today. I was using it today.
I was going to say, it made a return today. It's no cleaner. You have not yet given it a scrub.
No, the best way to describe the glass is...
It's cloudy.
Gray. It's gray.
You just slap some stuff in
it
and start sipping.
That's all it is. Dale,
but no straw, I might point out.
No straw.
No.
Safe for the environment.
Thank you, thanks.
You're welcome, Tom Brady. Doing my part. So we talked a lot on Tuesday about the Facebook group. Over 1 million people, and their plan is in September they're going to storm Area 51 for, well, a couple of specific reasons.
The mission appears to be, quote, see them aliens, a reference to the fact that many believe Area 51 to be a secret alien holding site. Newsweek reports the event presents the idea of people around the globe invading the site on September 20th via a Naruto run.
I like
that's still one of
see
my
them aliens.
Things. See them aliens. That is what they're there to
we
do.
We all have tip goals.
We do.
Be, quote, see them aliens.
And then, as Shime later demonstrated,
via a Naruto run.
The Naruto run, of course, is head out,
which, as
arms
it turns
back,
out, didn't he mispronounce that or something?
He did, yes. Shime, the correct pronunciation?
The correct pronunciation is Naruto.
Well, there you go.
Naruto run. And then that, of course, led to Tara Louise with the Song of the Summer. Oh, oh, uh-huh. And maybe the unofficial theme song for Dale and Keith as well.
No.
Yeah, I don't know. Come on,
government. Let us in. We just want to see the aliens.
Come on.
Stop bobbing your head.
Open up 51 and let us in. We just want to see them. We just want to see them. No.
So what are you trying to hide?
Ooh, good question.
Watch out now, we're bringing in. We just want to see the
Let's be honest. The only reason we played it was not because you bob your head and like to sing
along.
I love
the song.
It's got to do with Shime's incredibly poor taste in music.
No.
I have a fantastic taste in music.
How dare you?
I mean, he likes all that syrupy pop crap.
This came back by public demand, mind you.
No, it was Keith's demand.
That was one guy anyway. But that's right.
One guy on Twitter said he wants to hear it on the loop.
Now, that was from the Madness on Tuesday, and there was so much good stuff. We had to cut some of it for time, Dale. They have to do that. You see that in film all the time. So we're going to bring a couple of things that we missed. That would be there was a kid dressed as Boba Fett from the Star Wars films.
Isn't it Boba Fett?
Boba Fett,
just gasping,
whatever it may be.
Asking for a friend.
He's excited about this upcoming raid.
Coming Area 51, now that's a real cause. That's where all us humans should be coming together. Let's put aside our differences. Blacks, whites, gays, straights, politics, none of that matters. What truly matters is getting to Area 51, busting through the and clapping some alien. That's what I stand for, and that's what I want you to stand for.
That's what I stand for.
So
yes, he's
got the Boba Fett thing on.
So yeah. He sort of kind of
he's got the mask on a little bit. He's a bounty hunter. What do you want from him? Also, Robert Frank weighed in. He's a bodybuilder.
What did he dress as?
Just a bodybuilder.
Oh, okay.
It's been brought to my attention that over 1 million nosy-ass virgins who don't even flip sign a petition to storm Area 51 to, quote, see them aliens instead of storming their local gym to see them motherfucking games. They'd rather break the law and try to trespass instead of getting jacked and tan so they could get some. Now, already know what you're thinking. Relax, Robert Frank. It's only a joke. But you know damn well there'll be a handful of geeks who never beat showing up with their Fortnite t-shirts and selfie stick trying to make history. F*** a Martian. I'm trying to get shredded like a Spartan. Ricky Martin. Swallows the goal. Signs the prize. It's game to clap, motherfucker. Let's go.
So he's ready. So you got him on your side.
I was trying to figure out exactly if he was trying to be Hulk Hogan, Randy Macho Man Savage,
Ultimate Warrior.
I mean, it was like a melange.
All wrapped up into one.
Personalities there. Oh, stop it.
That's going to be the sound when they go in there and storm it. This was from the baseball broadcast last night. Joe Castiglione had a question for, I think it was an open-ended question to both Lou Maloney and to Dale Arnold.
Who's the slowest runner you ever saw?
Boy, I tell you,
Glenn Ordway. Asking Lou because, you know, Lou is the major league athlete.
Right.
But I did have to insert that I'm guessing.
It's got to be one of the Molinas, right? Like Benji Molina. He was slow as molasses.
They were talking about several guys who were glacially slow.
How much would you chip in, and this money could all go to charity, to see Glenn Ordway, Naruto run for 40 yards?
All of it.
How much are you going to take?
All of it.
Just to get an open field, 40 yards, nobody in his way.
I want to do it just in the hall
he'd hurt himself. I don't trust him in here. But somewhere else. I get him outside. We could even get a crowd there.
Can you get those little arms back
Everybody chucking a couple of bucks. It all goes to the Jimmy Fund, and there he goes, just flying around like an airplane.
Banging into Christian Fourier down at the end of the hall.
I think it'd be pretty good. All right, the last thing we'll leave you with is a question about NFL team names.
My favorite was there was a commercial for Monday Night Football, I think it was, on ESPN, and a woman looks to a man. She says, well, if they're the Cleveland Browns, why are their uniforms orange? And he goes, it's complicated. doesn't make any sense either.
It's a last name.
Well, but
the Brown family.
But then why not double down and make the uniforms brown? Because why is it orange?
Because it looks like poop.
Why is it? Well, you also named yourself the Browns.
No,
ooh, the Jets could be the Johnsons.
Whoa.
It'd be pretty good. You know, the New York Johnsons. Here come the New York Johnsons.
You're just hoping they do
nice
that.
Team.
It'd be the best.
I'd get the and hat, I'd get the shirt.
The Woody Johnsons.
Very mature outfit we have here.
I'll show myself out. We have no pride.
Yeah, no, that's it. So there you go. There's the week in review.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. We get back to the calls with you guys in just a couple of minutes. And by the way, Rich,
yes.
You buried the lead here.
Did I?
You promised.
Oh,
some
I do.
Top
I got
10
some.
Tips for dealing with the heat that's coming.
How to beat the heat.
That's coming up as well. Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.
Yeah, I got an idea.
Right on par.
Bring it, bitch.
It probably could use a scrub, but it's not going to happen.
See them aliens via a Naruto run.
The Woody Johnsons. System 617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Somehow we got away from Shime's treacly pop treats here.
Well, it's a false count
ago.
Anywhere Friday. That's why. He's still spinning those wrestling tunes, even with the loss
Thank
of Rossi.
God.
Pour one out for Rossi this weekend.
Hey, give me credit. My wrestling tunes have been on point today.
No, I got
They've
no
been really on point, really strong. At all.
Good stuff.
All good. We're happy with all of that stuff. So someone on the text machine wants to know, are they Keefe's keys to beating the heat?
You could say that.
Could you?
You could say, no, it's an article I found.
Oh, well, then.
Where the experts are weighing in. No, this you got to take really seriously. So these are experts' ways to beat the heat.
You kind of mocked a listener who suggested
that. I don't know
that,
if I did that.
Oh, you totally did.
That's not my
you totally
style.
Totally did. The one who said you should leave a frozen bottle of water in your mailbox for your mailman.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that by the time he gets there, he can
mailbox,
have a refreshing treat.
Your mailbox, which is going to double as an oven over the weekend, especially if it's sitting out in the middle of the sun.
I
don't know about that. You're better off if you're in a safer neighborhood, leaving a whole cooler out there. Put the cooler out there.
I don't know where you live, but I'm not leaving a cooler out there.
I think I might be able to get away with it. And then I would say, please take one if you're thirsty, mail person. And then they can come by, they can open it up, and they can have one. Putting it in the mailbox, I feel like you're just asking for trouble.
We had another text from a UPS driver, because it was signed UPS driver,
yeah.
Who said, oh, yeah, real tough for the mailmen who have to deliver envelopes.
Yeah, that's a good point. Those guys are out there delivering dog food at 25 pounds a pop. That's tough.
40 pounds. Forget 25, 40 pounds. I mean, it's going to be dangerous out there.
It's going to be a scorcher out there, that's for sure.
Are you appropriately? I mean, there are places. I talked to somebody earlier today whose air conditioner is broke.
Well, mine was broke a week ago when we got that first really hot day.
You got a baby to worry about.
I got a
now.
Baby, although again, she likes it piping hot, so she'd probably prefer.
She hasn't actually said that to you, but
yeah. But Dale, you understand that babies prefer the heat than they do the cold.
Well,
I know nothing about babies, and I know that. that's the one thing I do know.
Well, you've learned some stuff.
Because they've been cooking in there for about 9 months, so
cooking
they come out.
Probably not the word we're looking
that's
for.
That's kind of what they're doing. They're baking until they're ready, then they come out, and they like it really warm. That's why you swaddle them up. That's why they're wearing hats. They like it really warm.
Do you put hats on her now, this
I'm
time of year?
I'm terrible with the hat. No, she was wearing a hat for the first week or so. Now I kind of ditched the hat. The hat's always kind of falling off, or it's, you know. Hard to get over ears. It's the whole thing.
They are tiny little ears.
Tiny
too.
Little ears. But then you're like, you don't want to like push on her head at all. So you're like, ugh, I don't know what to do with this. So I don't usually put the hat on, but she's still wrapped up like crazy.
Oh, yeah. I
even
mean,
in the middle of the summer.
In a swaddling cloth.
That's right. I've learned to swaddle. I'm not 50-50 on the swaddle. Every once in a while, I got a good swaddle where she's tucked in there like a little burrito. Then other times, she's kicking out of that thing, no problem. And you're like, I thought you swaddled her. I'm like, I did. Hands out, legs out. You don't know what's going on.
I meant to ask this earlier, but how did the first diaper change go?
It was at the hospital, and thankfully the nurses were fantastic, and they sort of helped
me
out.
No.
They're like, you're doing it wrong. No, I'm a visual learner, so I watched the first couple, and I'm like, all right, I think I could do that. And now it's like no problem. Like that's something that you're surprised how quickly you learn.
Well, how about the back in the day.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't have to worry about this. No. But back in the day when you had to worry about diaper pins.
Oh, my God. And you would use reusable diapers.
Puncturing poor babies.
Yeah, there's no pins here.
Just a little
sticker or whatever. Yeah, they just stick right on
that
nicely.
Baby
over. Oh, if it was pins, forget it. She could just be naked the whole time. Like, we'll figure it out. We'll clean it up. I'm not going to stab her.
We'll go back later.
Yeah, I don't feel good about
that. Clean up that area of the house.
No, that is scary. But that's been surprisingly a lot easier than I thought.
I'm thankful because you were a little concerned about that.
God, I had no idea what to expect. But no, that's been good.
It's an amazing thing what we humans can learn, isn't it?
It is. It really is.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. We will get the top 10 things to, you know, little tips.
Yes.
To beating the heat.
Beat the heat. You're going to want to listen up. Yeah.
Because I don't know if you've heard this or not. Sometimes in the summer, it gets hot here.
Yeah, it's warm. It's real hot.
Once in a while. Uh-huh. Just imagine what those poor rats out in the parking lot are doing right now.
Oh, God. They don't like the heat, do they?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
I've never asked that.
Not sure.
617-779-7937. Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.